This is the Davis and Beadle Podcast.
All right, it's time for the Davis and Beadle Podcast. I'm Davis, he's Beadle. Hello, Beadle. Is the wind howling over the Front Range today, or is it actually a nice day in the greater Fort Collins, Severance, Greeley area?
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice today. I can't complain after the weekend. That was maybe some of the most miserable weather I've ever been in, which was like, you know, 50, 60 mile an hour winds for the whole weekend, not like an afternoon, just the whole time. It was ridiculous. So I won't complain. Today's pretty nice.
We went to Iowa and it was pretty windy in Iowa, but I guess it was pretty windy here. I fortunately didn't blow Sergio Romo away. Didn't get blown off the mound or anything when he was throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. And of course, Sergio Romo was in town, 3-time World Series champion, RMAC player of the century, and they retired his professional number, not his uniform number, though they still had his uniform, which I think is so cool. That Chris Hanks, they kept his uniform and they gave him his uniform last Friday. Of course, you were coaching at that time. You have any memories of Sergio? Any Sergio stories that ring a bell?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's lots of them. Sergio was he wasn't with us for very long. You know, it was only one season, or even with his days with the Giants. And you know, I think he made a name for himself, kind of being a goofball in the dugout during some of those interviews during the postseason and stuff like that. But you know, the biggest thing about Sergio was he was just such a feisty competitor. You know, he was already good, and then you add that chip on the shoulder, super competitive mentality to him, and you know, there was a few fireworks every now and then, because he was not afraid to talk a little smack, and he was not afraid to tell a hitter what was coming and then strike him out with it anyway sometimes. And so he, you know, he would cause a stir every now and then. And of course teams wanted to beat him because he was a big deal that year. So there was lots of high energy outings, let's put it that way. And guys knew that, you know, they had a target on their back when Sergio was pitching. So teams really, really wanted to beat him and nobody could. Well, I guess there was one loss in there. I think New Mexico Highlands beat him one year down in Las Vegas, New Mexico. But I think Sergio was just he's the kind of example of the kind of competitor you want people to be on the mound. He just super confident and super competitive, never gave an inch. So that's the biggest thing I remember about Sergio.
Well, certainly this is kind of a flashback period of time for Colorado Mesa baseball. Sergio Romo was in town last weekend, had his number retired, his professional number retired, and then Chico State comes to town this weekend. Lots of great battles when they were both Mesa, then Mesa State, and Chico State were out in the West in that region, and so Chico State comes to town this weekend. So, like I said, kind of it's been a trip down memory lane the last couple of weekends for Maverick baseball.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Chico's very, very good, as usual. And so is Mesa. So it'll be a good battle, I'm sure. And yeah, I think, you know, when I was playing, my freshman year, was the first time we ran into Chico, and they won the national championship that year. And they beat us on their field at the, NCAA regional. I think it was like, I don't remember the final score. I want to say 5-2 or something like that. They were good. And that was one of the most fun atmospheres I've ever played in. They had, you know, just a great fan base. They're well known. If you want to look on some, you know, lists of party schools and stuff like that, Chico usually pops up on those lists. So they were well known for having some rowdy fans, and it was great. I will say that it wasn't like, you know, rowdy in a negative light. It was so much fun. They were, you know, they were rowdy. They were loud. They were, you know, they would talk to you. They would keep it classy, but at the same time, man, it was fun. You know, you had a battle on your hands between the crowd and the team that was really, really good. So, you know, that kind of started the little bit of a rivalry between Mesa and Chico that they quite frankly owned for a few years while I was playing, and even the first couple of years while I was coaching, they handled us most of the time, and we couldn't quite get over the hump against them. We finally did in, I want to say, 2007 at a regional in Cal State LA, and we beat them and knocked them out of the tournament and handled them. And I don't know if we've ever lost to them since, from that standpoint. So, you know, it's some time has passed. We're not in the West region with them anymore. So the meaningful games aren't quite the same, but two really, really great Division II programs for a long time. And it'll be fun. You know, they don't come out very much. I think the last time they came out, they got swept. So they probably didn't really feel like coming back again. So I'm interested to see how this goes, because the Mavs, you know, they're doing what they normally do with the RMAC schedule. And they kind of have that. I don't want to say wrapped up. That's probably not fair to say it's wrapped up right now, but they're in control of it for sure. And so this is a nice little bump in the middle of the season to get a really high quality opponent that you can measure yourself on before you get to a regional type atmosphere again.
One final thing before we move on, talk about some other baseball stuff that, you know, we went out to Iowa and went to the Iowa Michigan game out at Banks Field, named after Dwayne Banks, their longtime head coach, and just had a great time and great facility. I guess they're going to put $27 million into that facility. Yeah. They're going to cover the stands and everything. And it was a really fun environment. It reminded me a lot of being at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. It's kind of the way the field is and the layout. They have a turf field out there. And, of course, the Diamond's a grass surface. But we had a lot of fun. Thanks to Dwayne Banks for getting us tickets and really enjoyed our time out in Iowa, checking out Iowa baseball. It was wish we could have brought him some luck. Unfortunately, they lost 4-3 when we were at their game, their first game of their doubleheader. So, Colorado Rockies, they lose 2 out of 3 to Arizona. They, as we record this, they're off today. They play at Toronto this weekend. Off to a 3-10 start. And, you know, like Eugenio Suarez yesterday, guy is struggling at the plate, but he finds a way to get a little bloop. Nolan Jones can't make a play on the outfield. It scores 2 runs. Diamondbacks win 5-3. And that's just been kind of the story for the Rockies. Chris Bryant has been absolutely dreadful this season. I mean, he's been healthy, but he's been just awful. There's one of the worst crowds in Rockies history at the game yesterday. It's ugly right now if you're a Rockies baseball fan.
Yeah, and I know the last time we talked, you know, there's a little bit of hope for the Rockies from an offensive standpoint, and, you know, they had a good spring, but they just, their defense has been terrible, and their offense really hasn't had much punch, which was the problem last year as well. And I thought maybe that they would grow up a little bit, you know, you get some guys that were young and start learning how to be major league hitters a little bit more. And there's still time. The season's still young, obviously, but it just doesn't look real great right now from the standpoint of having some of those woes fixed this year. They just, the defense has been atrocious, and, you know, the offense to go with it has been average at best. So that's a pretty bad combo, even on most teams, and especially on the Rockies, when pitching is usually the thing that everybody is raising an eyebrow about. And pitching's been they've been okay, not great, but they've been the average, and they've hung in there. But the defensive ability of this team better improve fast, because they can't sustain much this season, defending the way they are. And so hopefully that picks up and they get a little bit better at it as the season goes on, but not the start they were hoping for. I think they were hoping to come out of the gates fast and create a little bit of buzz and, you know, have some nice crowds, which they'll always get because of the opponents that come in. But it's not going to feel the same unless the Rockies are competitive. And right now they just aren't. They aren't competitive at all. And it's been a bit of a disappointment so far, especially offensively.
And with Chris Bryant, I mean, the expectations have been great. The 7-year, $182 million contract, first couple of years of this deal, he's been injured more than he's been healthy. And this year he's healthy, but he was more productive when he, during the first two injury campaigns, and right now, I mean, his batting average is like what, like it's 111, something like that. It's, you know, it's pretty bad. I mean, with Chris Bryant, I mean, this is just, is this going to turn into, is this going to make the Ian Desmond, Daniel Murphy deals look like they were killer deals for the Rockies? Because it's starting to really look that way.
I forgot about the Desmond deal. Desmond wasn't that bad. I mean, he wasn't, don't get me wrong. He wasn't that awesome either, but he certainly wasn't as bad as Chris Bryant has been. And, so yeah, I mean, it's going to make those deals look pretty good in comparison. And I think that was part of the optimism, right? Like, okay, Chris Bryant has had a rough go. He hasn't been healthy. Let's get him healthy. Get him a season, you know, in the lineup where you feel like he can do something and be part of a middle of the order around some really good young players. He might really benefit from that, you know. And no, it's just not been good. And it, like I said, it doesn't really appear. It's not like he's, you know, smoking balls and they're getting caught and you're seeing these great at bats. He just hasn't been good. He just hasn't been close. And that's hard to watch if you're a Rockies fan, because like you said, the deal will always be the expectation, right? You know, he's been an MVP. We can all agree that those days are past, but you paid him good money and it wasn't like he was at the tail end of his career. He just hasn't been good. And now it does look like he's at the tail end of his career. When they got him, I thought there was, you know, a good 2-3 seasons of kind of peak performance still left for him. But no, that has not been the case. And it looks like he may be at the end of his career now, and he's just scuffling and things aren't going well. But, you know, you make deals with the assumption guys are going to produce. And when they don't, your deal will always look bad. So, you know, you can't mock that too much. They made a move. They tried. I'm not, you know, it might've been ill-fated or a dumb deal, but they're always going to look dumb if the guy doesn't produce. If he does, you're going to look like geniuses. So that's the way being a GM goes sometimes, but it certainly isn't looking great for that deal right now. And it isn't looking great for Chris Bryant overall. He just doesn't look like he can play or hit, I should say, anymore at the big league level.
And he made the comment about not really fully understanding the Rockies prospects, who they have and the organization and everything. It's like, well, I'm thinking that Chris Bryant would have done a deeper dive. He might have thought otherwise. And likewise for the Rockies too, they might have not pulled the trigger on that deal if they would have known what they're going to get out of Chris Bryant. Beetle, I'll let you go. I know you got a game to go and coach, and always great catching up. Talk to you again soon, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're taking on the Erie Tigers today. Former Mav Kyle Leahy, I believe, was an Erie Tiger.
Yes,
so
he was.
We're just going to beat their butts and say, sorry, Kyle's not there anymore. So
yes, now with the Cardinals these days, the big league level with Kyle Leahy. Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, Beetle.
Talk to you soon.
This is the Davis and Beetle Podcast.